So today is the last day of our sermon series, which has been entitled God's Voice in Art. I know this maybe is a troubling picture today, but hopefully we'll explain. So this is our art today. We'll leave it unsaid for now, but I want to just review where we've been. So we started with God taking our burdens, God taking our rocks away. Then we talked about the volcano path, those hard paths that we walk in life, and God is with us. We talked about being cracked pots, or crack pots, right? But cracked pots, that the more broken we are, treasures in clay jars, the better God is able to shine through us. And we talked about God's great love for us, that love story that no matter where we go, God seeks us out. And then we talked about the balance between past and present in the church and in our lives, and how we go forward with the Spirit, but also listen to the wisdom, the ancient path that God gives us. And then we talked about abundance, how when we throw down our nets, God gives us more than we have asked for, and how our nets hold. Then last week we heard about the widow's mite and remember not to see those characters in Scripture just as objects, but to really think about them as human beings and think about their lives. And then here we are today. My mother-in-law thought he was a demon, but he's not. So the title of this sculpture, which you may have seen at the Art Institute in Chicago, is called The Statue of a Young Satyr Wearing a Theater Mask of Silenos. So now you understand, right? So masks like this were common in ancient theater as the actors depicted Greek mythological figures. But in this statue, a mythological figure, a satyr, which is part man and part goat, in case you wondered. But a child, satyr, has put on a mask of another mythological figure. So it's almost like a mask upon a mask, right? And that figure was a half man and half horse. So you may wonder why I chose it. Well, that's not why I chose it. Why I chose it and why it's compelled me every time I've gone and seen it is that hand poking through, right? I couldn't resist. What's he doing sticking his hand out of the mouth of the mask? Well, by sticking out his hand, he's undermining the illusion. He's giving away that he's wearing a mask. In a way, he's unmasking himself. He's showing us who he is underneath the costume. And since he's a child, it's playful. In our day, I think it might be like a child going trick-or-treating and wearing footy pajamas underneath like a Darth Vader costume, right? So he's in the scary mask, but he's also still a child and he's showing you who he is. Most of us love costumes when we're children, don't we? Do you remember your costumes, your favorite Halloween costume? At our house when we were growing up, we used to have what we called the costume box. Hours were spent with the costume box. It was a cardboard box on the back porch. We lived in Florida, so the screen porch, filled with old clothes and shoes of my parents, even an old wig of my mother's, some tacky jewelry, and we would dream and dress up and imagine. I have a favorite memory of our older son, William, who is 20 years old now. And I remember when he was 10 and it was a fall day and he went outside dressed up as a pirate. There was no reason he needed to dress up that day, but he put on his pirate costume and he spent a couple hours in the backyard building something with sticks and orange tape. You know, it was just really exciting to wonder what is happening in his mind. I think that costumes compel us because it's an exercise in creating identity. Who can I be today, right? Who might I be tomorrow? What are the possibilities? who I am may seem like something obvious to some of us, but in actuality, our identities change over time and place. We shape them every day through our choices and our thoughts and the paths we take. And yet, on the other hand, there is something about who we are that never changes, that's given to us. We don't begin each day, we don't begin our lives with a blank canvas. We have an eternal self that's created and known by God. And we have a physical body and mind that we're stuck with, and that's unique to us. This being known by God is what Psalm 139 is about. Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. God is our creator, and yet God has also made us a partner in sculpting ourselves, in painting our canvas and molding our clay over time. So all of this makes who am I an interesting question, but also a lifelong question. Who am I? As I thought about masks, I tried to think of whether there were any people in the scriptures who disguised themselves or wore a mask, and I have come up with four, including Joseph this morning. But before I tell you, can you think of any? See if you can figure them out. Maybe you can think of one I didn't think of. Anyone in scripture who wore a mask or a disguise? Have I stumped everyone? Only Joseph is all we can think of. Okay, you're going to kick yourselves. Jacob, who dresses up as Esau to steal the blessing, right? Did that inspire anyone with another? I got to cheat because, you know, I used the Bible to help me. Leah, her father disguises her as her sister Rachel at her wedding to trick her husband into marrying her. And then the last one I thought of is Tamar. Anyone familiar with that story? I want to talk a little bit about that story. We don't know it quite so well. So she was widowed more than once by brothers in a family, and she was left childless. So it was the tradition that if one brother died without leaving an heir, the next brother would marry her. And this happened several times so that the family began to think that she was killing the sons. And so there was one son left, but he was too young to marry her. So her father-in-law sent her home with her parents and promised that when he was old enough, you know, he would send for her to come back and marry the son. But Judah, thinking that Tamar was cursed, didn't keep his promise. He never sent for her. And so she decided to take matters into her own hands. She dressed up one day, not as a pirate, but as a prostitute. And she sat by the roadway knowing that Judah would pass by and perhaps knowing his weaknesses. So he took the bait. And since he didn't have any money with him, he paid her with his cord and his signet as a pledge, like an IOU, that he would send her the money. But strangely, when he tried to pay her later, she was gone. There was no prostitute. People had never seen a prostitute there. And several months later, Tamar was discovered to be pregnant, and she wasn't married. So as her father-in-law, he was her legal guardian. So they went to him and said, "What should we do with her?" And he said, "Well, she has, you know, committed adultery. Kill her." And so in response, she sent him his cord and his signet and said, "I think you know who these belong to." Judah, of course, changed his mind very quickly about executing her, and he genuinely repented. He said, "I realize that I am in the wrong, not you." So all of these stories are in the book of Genesis. Isn't that interesting? This book of creation has a running theme through it of identity and disguise. Often when we think about people wearing masks, if we think about it spiritually, the word that comes to mind is hypocrite, right? You hypocrites, Jesus was known to say. And we conjure a picture of someone being judgmental or dishonest. Indeed, that word hypocrite comes from Greek acting, and it means an actor, a hypocrite. But the stories of Joseph and of Tamar in particular paint a different picture of people who would wear masks. Tamar, we know, was using her disguise to seek justice. She was doing what was right. And Joseph, when he recognized his brothers after so many years apart, just wasn't ready yet to forgive them, to tell them who he was. So he needed that mask to give him time to be prepared to act rightly. For Tamar, it was a moment of real truth-telling about that unfair treatment she had received. And interestingly, in her story, when she is unmasked, it is actually her father-in-law who is revealed. And Joseph, when he is unmasked, there's a moment of reconciliation that is possible. Every day, we as human beings wear masks, don't we? Some of the masks we wear are helpful and some are harmful. Yes, I said that some are helpful. Some masks help us. Think of the times when you would really, really like to say something nasty. But you bite your tongue and you put on your polite face, right? That's a mask, but it's a good one. For the sake of other people, for the sake of our friendships, we take our best self out when we go in public. Other times, we might really find it hard to show love for someone, but we act in the way we know we should and hope that our feelings can catch up later. We fake it till we make it, right? Those are masks that help us to do what is right, even when we don't want to. But some masks that we wear are not helpful. Instead, they're a spiritual obstacle and they are a burden to us. Many people have a nagging sense that if they were real, if they let it all hang out, if they showed their true selves to people at work or at church or even their families, they wouldn't accept them for who they really are. And so they hide a part of themselves or they keep quiet when they'd like to speak up. Some of us might feel like this right now. As human beings, we have a spiritual hunger to be known. We want to be truly seen and truly understood. We need opportunities to be unmasked, to stick our hands right through the face, to put our whole selves out there, and then to be loved, to be accepted for who we are. Maybe not by everyone on YouTube, but certainly by a few trusted family members and friends. As a pastor, I see masks go up everywhere I go because people try to act holier around me when they find out I'm a pastor. I think they think that I must be super holy. And I am, right? Super holy. And so I'll judge them if I find out they drink or smoke or curse or have questions about God. Shh, don't have questions, right? Or do anything wrong. Speed. So I may have told some of you before, but I dread getting my hair cut by a new person. I hate it because you're sitting there in the chair and they're making small talk and this is a woman's haircut. So about half hour in, the hairdresser will say, "So what do you do?" And then I say, "I'm a pastor." And I can see their mind rewinding to see what they said that was wrong and see if they can fix it. So I always wanted to make a business card. I never did it, that says, "I'm not that kind of pastor. Just be yourself." Or, you know, "Don't worry, I'm the wild kind of Baptist." And see what that provokes. But in all seriousness, as a pastor, and Pastor Zena as your pastor, and Dr. Sammy, we never want you to feel that you need to wear a mask in front of us, because we're not super holy. We're people who've said yes to being willing to serve, but that's it. We're not any better than anyone else. So here is that other desire, that other side of our desire to be known and accepted for who we are. And that's that we have to learn to be the kind of people who accept others for who they are. It's a two-way street. We have to give other people in our lives permission to be authentic. And when we let our masks down, other people will feel that and find the relief to do it themselves. Just like in that sculpture, that costume is so heavy, right? It's practically swallowing him. Our masks can feel heavy like that. Psalm 139 is the promise that we don't need masks with God. In fact, they would be ridiculous because God already knows us completely and miraculously loves and accepts us. God knows our thoughts before we think them and has made us out of that molecular stuff from which we're made. And in that deep knowing of us, God's verdict about us is wonderful, wonderfully made. Sometimes we are not even sure who we are. And so isn't it a relief to know that God knows who we are? Sometimes we are disappointed in ourselves when we know ourselves well. One of my favorite scripture verses I want to share with you is 1 John 3:20. The letter to 1 John describes this feeling, saying that sometimes our hearts condemn us. And when they do, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Isn't that beautiful? Sometimes our hearts condemn us, but God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. So when we know ourselves, we judge ourselves, but God, in knowing us, understands and accepts and forgives. God is more understanding of our weaknesses than we are for ourselves. So since God has given that verdict, since we are wonderful, and since God has loved us for who we are, let us seek a way then to take off those harmful masks that have been wearing us down. How can we do it? Well, I think we can begin to practice with God in prayer, that when we pray, since God knows us anyway, just let it all out. We have nothing to lose. And then day by day, as we are able, to try to let our most true selves come out, to stick out our hands, to find expression in the world as we partner with God to shape the work of art that we are. And yes, as we think about God's voice in art, that's the last thought I would like to give you, that you are the work of art. Amen.